Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you troubled by stale podcasts in the middle of the night?
Do you love films that feature the busting of spooks, specters, or ghosts?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute.
Ghostbusters Resurrection is an RPG audio drama combining tabletop gaming and cinematic paranormal elimination adventures.
Call the professionals at nerdyshow.com/ghostbusters.
We're ready to believe you.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 171, and I am your stupid, awesome analyst, John Star. And with me is the Hard Men with Hard Opinions, AFLM.
Hi.
And our King Baby Duck, Evan.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches.
And Elite Four, Dirk.
Hi, guys!
Hello. So, we got some good stuff today. We got an interesting topic for today based off of one of our news stories. So we will be sure to do that. We got some Into the West. We got some probably other stuff that we'll be talking about. Editor Greg isn't here today, so I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Everything in here is going to be up to future Greg.
Yay.
in order to figure out. And he's listening to this right now in the editing process. Well, not right now because you're listening to it after post editing. Anyways,
I picture future Greg having this epic beard and holding like an hourglass in his hand and a giant staff just listening to this episode.
It sounds like regular Greg.
that's Greg all the time. He has that beard just sitting in his room and he wears it while he edits.
Except instead of a staff, it's a gun.
Could you imagine like an editor having a fake beard so that they could stroke it while they were... Anyway.
There has to be one guy who does that. At least one guy.
Who has a fake beard to stroke while he thinks?
Yes.
Even if he has a beard, he puts a fake beard over it.
I would. Two beards. One beard would be long enough to hold snacks. Anyways, let's ring...
One's for thinking, one's for loving.
Let's ring the news bell.
Hang on.
Almost. Okay. Yeah, we got it. Okay, cool.
Got it.
That was pathetic.
So is most news.
I wasn't ready for it.
Yeah. I have a drawer that has all of my Wicked Anime equipment in it now, and News Bell Jam lives in a drawer. So, right next to where we record, but... Anyways.
New story. Yes.
Alright, so first off, don't panic.
Okay.
Because apparently...
Wait, I'm panicking.
Alright. Calm down.
No, that's just basic anxiety because you're in anticipation for what he's going to talk about.
So, a bunch of light novel authors, including Carlo Zen, the creator of Saga of Tiny the Evil, and Tape Nagatsuki, the creator of ReZero, are teaming up for a self-published light novel titled The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Isekai.
So, this actually really encourages me just on the fact that everybody in Japan also knows what The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is. Mm-hmm. Because if you haven't, I've never really read a novel in my life, just because that's not the way my brain works. I can't process just text alone. I need pictures to go along with it. Except for The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's the only book series that I've ever fully read and comprehended in a sitting. So if you have not read it, do yourself a favor. If you love sci-fi, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Now it seems like we got a new tribute to that. Am I right?
Yes, and it's being published for, I think, for what's going on right now, Comic Cat 96.
Oh, so it's out?
Yeah.
Comic Cat is happening actually, right now during this recording.
Yeah, actually it says right here, this special circle will be located on August 11th, which is the day of this recording. Or technically it already happened because it's now August 12th in Japan.
Interesting. Wow, that... So, I'm curious as to how fast of a commodity, because you know how, if anybody knows how Comic Cat works, everything that's good there basically sells out in an instant. You have to go directly to what you want right away because it'll sell out as long as supply is in demand. And I wonder if this is going to be a hot commodity because it's written by so many people who have done famous things.
Yes.
It's weird though because it's a comic has a doujin fest, so these guys aren't doujin writers, they're legit writers, but technically this is a doujin, right? So
somewhat, but a lot of actual big named writers, big manga writers will actually make special doujins for Comic Cat, which become massive collector's items.
That makes a lot of sense. And probably makes
Clamp has done it. The creator of Monster Musume has done it. I think Keiichi Arari, the creator of Nichijou, has done it. A lot of authors do this.
So are there examples of what the authors themselves have put into the book yet?
There isn't, but I have the synopsis right here. It says, "These days, everyone and everything seems to be thrown into an isekai. Perhaps you may be the next person to journey through another world. Are you prepared? Mentally, as well as physically? The six authors have assembled the things you need to bring and the things you need to know in order to allay your worries about transferring or reincarnating into another world. If you study up on their experiences and their stories, then you'll do fine no matter which world you get thrown into. Probably. Let this book be the strongest contender for developing the Nobel Isekai Prize."
Okay. So they're aware of the problem.
Yeah.
There's only so many different kinds of isekai. If we write a book about it, then we can cover the whole thing. It's like when the talking heads started to phase out of the talking heads and they started to go their own separate ways. They made their live concert movie called Stop Making Sense. And then when that movie came out, David Burns was like, "Well, the movie does our tours for us now because it's basically every concert. So why should we even start playing anymore?" So hopefully this means that all isekais are going to be over now that they have a guide to making your own. Fingers crossed.
Or the opposite problem's going to happen, and now we're going to have five times as many isekai.
Right, because everybody has a rule book on how to make them.
At first, but then it'll dip very sharply.
We were hoping that would happen when the isekai started.
But it hasn't yet.
All right. No, that's the problem!
So how does Fonzie jump the shark? How does it end?
Alright, well, we can get back to this topic when we actually talk about it in our Tapagotchi.
Yes.
Such questions for the universe.
Our Tapagotchi for today is going to be further exploring this topic, and we're going to be putting what we think should go into an isekai Hitchhiker's Guide news.
Well, one of the most popular isekai out right now, Overlord, at a recent convention in, I believe, in Germany, there was a convention where the creators of Overlord were there, and they announced a fourth season where it's going to be made by Madhouse.
Okay. Yes! Einzel Goon!
Lizard sex!
This is good news. You know, Overlord is a show that like really grew on me. It took me a little bit to get into, despite the fact that I actually did help with a bit of the English in the opening theme song. But, like, it took a little bit for me to get into, but it's a very fun anime series. And a good light novel series from what I hear.
I watched the first episode of season one and said, yeah, I get it. Now that was one of those for me.
I'm kind of on a weird up and down roller coaster with Overlord, where I watch it for a little bit, then I watch it a lot, then I watch it for a little bit, then I don't watch it at all, then maybe I'll go back to it. So we'll see. Which one had the lizards in it? Was that season 2 or 3?
That was season 2.
Okay, yeah. So I'm stuck on season 2 and I'm like trudging through it because it's like I don't give a shit.
It is the slowest. Believe me, season 3 is so much better.
Yes.
Cool.
See, Derek can attest. Yeah, I have a second opinion.
I'm kind of embarrassed for why I so immediately got attached to it, but it reminded me of when I ran a clan of 200 people on RuneScape.
No,
I know this kid's character. Oh my god, yes, that was me. I was leading this clan. I had one of my own.
So, Andrew and I used to have a super group and a villains group in City of Heroes and City of Villains. Mm-hmm. But when that was still running, and we had, what were they called? Justice for Hire?
No, we had Forever Heroes for
City of Heroes.
City of Heroes. The Corrupt.
Yeah, that's right.
For City of Villains.
It was really funny because people had some really awesome characters. They were people that we just picked up off the street and we were in missions with them. It's like, hey, you want to be a part of super group?
Well, it's also really cool because we were in City of Villains so incredibly early that we were able to get a name, just The Corrupt.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Good times. I worked my way up the rankings in my clan and then was given the clan eventually after like a year.
So you became Ainz.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's now one that left one by one. It was just me.
Yeah. Just like Ainz.
Yeah. And then the game shut down. Right. Exactly.
Actually, still running. I'm trying to recover my account, but I don't have my AOL address that I linked it with. So that's posing to be a little bit of an obstacle right now.
Try your Hotmail.
No, I know my username, I know my password, but there's some sort of account authenticator that they implemented with it, and yeah. I have that tied to one of my old phones that I've gotten rid of, and apparently you need to have the same program, that same authenticator program, authenticate it while you're trying to sign in, no matter how long it's been, and you can't shift it.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
So I'm at the point, like, do I really feel like contacting RuneScape support right now? Have I sunk that low?
Yeah, you should see how they are. You should see how they're doing.
Well, enough of that past.
Overlord, Season 4, RuneScape Edition.
Yep. Yeah. Selling full rune.
So, kids, do you want to be like Senku from Dr. Stone and do some really fun experiments?
Possibly.
Well, now you can. So they are releasing a book called Dr. Stone no Saikyu Jikyu Kenkyu, or Dr. Stone's Ultimate Independent Research, which goes through the steps of how to make balloons out of garbage bags, how to make a telescope out of a magnifying glass, how to make cola out of special ingredients, and various other things. And note that these are the very safe experiments that kids can do. These aren't the really... you can't make explosions with this book.
That's too bad.
So although it looks like you can learn how to make a bottle rocket, though.
Yeah.
According to the cover.
I'm all caught up on Dr. Stone through the manga, meaning that I've read farther than the... Probably up until season 1, I would imagine. The end of season 1.
Possibly. This is going to be definitely a multiple season series.
Oh, I certainly hope so. It's great. But,
What did I tell you?
I've gotten all the way through up until what's available right now on release. So, there's a lot of really cool science stuff that they do. I loved... I'll just leave it at... I love when they start experimenting with a bunch of different rocks. Just not to spoil anything for the rest of the season.
Will it tell you how to unpetrify things? I don't know. Smelling maybe there salts. Might be.
Yeah. Yes. Nitric acid.
And batshit.
Yep.
So, going back to Isekai, unfortunately, although maybe a good one, the new anime series based off of Konosuba creator Natsumi Akatsuki's manga series, Kimonomichi, had its first preview.
And?
It looks pretty entertaining. It's about a pro wrestler who becomes a pet store owner in another world.
Oh, okay, I heard about this. Well, you sent us the article earlier.
The princess of this other world tells the wrestler that he has to go out and defeat all the monsters and demons, and he responds by giving her a German suplex.
So, is there a preview to this? To this series?
Yeah. Okay. That's what I said. That's what I said in the news article. There's a preview.
To the Discord first, actually.
I see.
Yeah. That's right. The Discord people first brought it up. Yeah. Maybe. Let's see if he scores gold again.
Huh?
I said maybe. I don't know if I'm gonna watch this one.
No.
I'm not like super huge on the premise. Like the premise doesn't look great. I don't know.
Well, it might surprise you. It's
Like think about every anime where you go like, the premise doesn't really get me into it, but then we're like, oh, this show was actually really great.
Look, I'm having a tough time keeping up with anime I want to watch this season, seriously.
So, as part of a collaboration project with the Keisei Electric Railway in Tokyo, a time-limited one-year-limited photo spot with a life-size figure of Takagi-san was set up at the Hikifune Station, so people can take their pictures with the cute girl with the big giant forehead.
Okay. So, first of all, I saw this article, and I saw the pictures. We're not talking life-size here. Takagi-san is bigger than a fully grown adult. Like, this is... It's horrifying when you actually...
Twice the life-size. Well, maybe Rie Takahashi's really small.
I mean, that would mean that Rie Takahashi would be smaller than an elementary school student.
Well, it says that she's 5'3", so she's not... okay, there may be some tall elementary school students. Who knows?
5'3". Okay, so that's the same height as my wife. I don't know. It doesn't seem that way when you look at the pictures. And not to mention, like, they really bring the forehead thing to life because her head is humongous. Like, I saw it and I was just like, it tipped the scales on the Uncanny Valley so far.
And it will talk to you, too, by the way.
Yeah. Will you just sit down and it'll just go...
One of the lines says, "Nudge me in the ribs," which I think is a reference to, I think, season one.
I would be like, no, I'm gotta go over here now. I just gotta go away.
Go ahead, move on.
Okay.
Greg, cut out the dead air. Future Greg. No dead air.
I think he knows to cut out the dead air.
I would certainly hope so.
Okay, so I think with this news, I think we could all calm down because I feel it's very important and it helps cement the fact that it's going to be a great series. The live-action Cowboy Bebop producer has confirmed that Ein will be a corgi.
Oh boy, I was so worried that it was going to be a pit bull.
Okay, so just finishing the series... I'm disappointed they're doing live action.
Yeah.
Right?
I really...
Just leave it be. It's
you don't need to touch it.
Yeah, especially with the cast that they chose, I'm really just like, what else is new? Like, next!
I just wanted Keanu Reeves to still be a part of it. And I would have watched it if Keanu Reeves was still getting his script done. But nope, too expensive, they said. $500 million.
Yeah.
$500 million.
$200 million.
Too much money, I guess.
$200 million, they said it would cost.
For the best property ever made.
Yep. It would be a cash cow, they make it all back. But no, Keanu Reeves doesn't know good enough. So, you know what? Screw that.
And now he's making John Wick, and he's like flipping everybody off who told him no.
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Although, it would be funny if John Wick had a corgi instead of a pit bull.
Alright, so how about... Okay, so this is a mixture of strange news and possibly Fetish of the Week.
Oh boy. It's time for Joanna's Fetish of the Week?
Yes. So let me paint you a little bit of a picture. You're walking around, minding your own business, enjoying the day, just seeing the sights, and then all of a sudden, Uh-oh, I got a bad case of no reason boner. What's a guy to do? Well, over in Japan, Tenga has unveiled the world's first masturbatory aid vending machines in Japan. Self-service, self-pleasure for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
You just dirtied Whistlecoon. You dirtied her.
Him? I thought, no, Whistlecoon would be a him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, the very first time I brought out Whistlecoon was for Bible Black, so he's always been filthy.
So,
I heard about this, actually.
I did, too, and nobody is going to buy from them. Like, not... Japan is already so self-conscious about everything that they do, and it's anonymous, and, like, they don't even marry each other anymore to the point where they're not going to use a Tenga vending machine. I just don't see it being profitable at all. But
who knows? I'll walk in my finest suit and top hat and monocle and tap dance inside and buy myself one.
Yeah. But, yeah, they already kind of exist. They're just not Tenga. And they're not on the streets. They're, like, in the malls. Because they have, when I went to Japan, you can go to the 18-plus gacha machines.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of have those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So,
now,
it's not unheard of, but it's not Tenga branded, which Tenga is a massive, massive Japanese brand for
sex toys. Which is funny that they're so public to begin with. Because if you say, like, if I asked you right now, name a single product that's American that is a part of the sex toy industry, you would not be able to name one that's not Dustin Diamond. So, the fact that you just know a brand name in Japan at all is just flabbergasting. I will say that, Evan, your opening story to painting this picture of a random boner in the park is like that's like for 12-year-olds and 14-year-olds. So, like,
and Danny Sexbank from Ninja Sex Party.
All right. So, do they have access? Like, does every single person have access to these machines, or is there a way to see whether or not they're 18 years or older to buy these products?
Well, let me see. Looking at the picture here, it looks like nobody's there watching it at all.
Well, that's because nobody wants to go anywhere near it. Like, even I bet you even the newscaster was like, I'm just taking these pictures for research, I swear! Alright, if we can get the sales records for these a couple of weeks down the line, we'll report back to see how well it's doing, see how it goes.
Alright, we should probably tell Sora News this. I think they should be the ones doing the research.
They're not the ones who wrote the article? That sounds like a very Sora News article.
They are the ones, yeah. They are the ones who wrote that.
Yep. All right, perfect.
Yes. And so is this one. This is also a Sora News article dealing more with the fetish of the week. And apparently, according to recent research, Japanese boobs are growing more than ever.
What? I mean, it...
Huh. What are they putting in their food?
Fish?
Well, that's a given.
Yeah.
Rice?
That's it. Eat more that's fish, it. Get bigger boobs.
So this was done by...
This sounds like it could be like an anthropological study.
So a bra manufacturer called Triumph International Japan did this study, collected in 2018... And it appears that breast sizes have gone up since the last couple of years.
Or they're stuffing more.
When you were growing up, did you happen to notice that your boobs got bigger? I did. Holy crap, they're getting bigger.
Okay, so I guess the question is, when they say they're growing, does it mean when an individual or, like, in general with the population?
I imagine that that the study is on the population as a whole, people's boobs sizes are getting bigger. I'm just being facetious.
Okay. These are the important things. I just need to nail these facts down.
Yes, I know. Yeah, I imagine you on the other end of the microphone with your pen.
We're getting to the
and
bottom
paper.
Of this.
Yeah.
He's going full blown Sherlock right now.
How big, though, is what I'm asking.
I'm drawing a stick figure for my notes for comparison, so I need to know what to draw.
You're right, that is bigger.
How many robots did they survey?
Yes, if you build them that way, they would certainly need big bras. So yeah, that would fit the survey.
How many robots did you survey?
We don't know, we can't tell. Oh no!
Japan would be the first country to make a Roomba that has boobs for no practical reason.
It's probably already happened. Don't you remember the episode BattleBots? Boobzilla!
Anyways,
all right. How about we go into the West before it gets a little bit more awkward?
Yeah, sure.
Hi, Greg. Yeah.
He's
got his hands in his beard and just saying why.
We should revisit Greg on the next episode and say, hey, what did you think of the editing process of this episode?
Yeah. And then he just hands over the keys to the studio. We don't have those.
Alright, so let's go into the West, because last week on Cartoon Network, one of my favorite shows, OK Kyo, Let's Be Heroes, had an epic crossover. And that was with the characters of Sonic the Hedgehog and Tails invading OK Kyo.
I saw this.
And I loved this episode because not only did it pay homage to the original old school Sega Genesis cartoons, but it also paid tribute to both The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog and the Saturday morning Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon, all within a good 15 minutes. And it was amazing.
So were Sonic and Tails in the entire episode?
Yes.
That's weird. How did that happen? Like, so is OKKO just one of those 15 minutes of story and then nothing else? Like, or it doesn't?
Yeah, connect. But there is good character development that goes on throughout the entire series. It's one of the better Cartoon Network shows. It is more focused on really being funny and action packed than it is trying to be some sort of, you know, Steven Universe sort of thing.
The reason why I ask is just because in the universe of OKKO, does Sonic and Tails just immediately suddenly showing up out of nowhere make sense? Or did they just shoehorn in a nostalgia episode for an older audience?
Well, he has his own power card, so he does exist in that realm.
What I'm also thinking is, doesn't Cartoon Network have or had some sort of Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon that they've been playing?
They had Sonic Boom, which was right. Surprisingly better than the Sonic Boom cartoon.
And the ability to put them in places, if there's a contract or something.
That makes sense.
It could have been a very easy cameo.
Was that Cartoon Network or was it Nickelodeon?
That was Cartoon Network.
Okay.
And they did a huge... They collaborated with Sonic Team on the episode as well, so they collaborate with the people from Japan. And what's interesting is that the person who plays the villain on OKKO, Lord Boxman, is Jim Cummings, who voiced Dr. Robotnik in the Saturday morning cartoon back in the day.
Yeah, I'm not surprised about that at all. He's voiced everybody and everything ever.
He's like one of the most famous voice actors on the face of the planet.
Now, the big question in line, and I hope that you, speaking of voices, I hope you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Jaleel White.
No, it's not. Nope. It's a Roger Craig Smith who did the voice.
Okay.
Wait.
But they kept really well to the spirit of the cartoon. They even had one of the minions of Lord Boxman actually do the laugh that Scratch the Robot Chicken had. That sort of one.
Yeah. And to answer your question, Derek, Jaleel White was the original Sonic in the American Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon.
Really?
Damn. Yes.
Urkel, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yep, you're right.
Damn.
Yeah. Imagine being 8 years old and being like, Urkel voices Sonic, but Sonic's cool and Urkel's a nerd. How does that work?
Evan, I'm 30 years old and I'm doing that right now.
Right. So,
yeah. It was a great episode, and I'm hoping this might actually lead to more, like, crossovers like this.
Yeah.
Like, if OKKO can get a Japanese property to show up in their show, what's to say Goku shows up in OKKO? What's to say Sailor Moon shows up in OKKO? Considering that...
Licensing.
Yeah. Cartoon Network's worth, like, almost $1 billion. They have the money to do it.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know about that. Yeah. Not for much longer.
Well, so they have the rights to play the episodes, but to make new content in a crossover, that's a lot of money you're going to pay the Japanese companies to okay that.
Right. That's why Sonic Boom works, is because they are making the content for it.
Exactly. That's a Cartoon Network product.
Well, yes and no. Cartoon Network licensed it, but it's actually a French cartoon.
Well, hearted that you're French.
But to keep with the whole anime aspect, the opening of OKKO is actually animated by Studio Trigger.
Oh yeah, that's right. We've talked about that before.
You didn't give me a trigger warning. What?
Actually, just a quick side note. Speaking of crossovers and Steve Urkel, revisiting Guess Who. Or Scooby-Doo and Guess Who?
Yes.
So it has been severely lacking since like the first three episodes, I would say.
Okay, because you and I are kind of like on a disagreement of this one, because my favorite episode so far has been the Ricky Gervais one.
Yeah, and the Ricky Gervais one is my least favorite episode. I might be a little biased because I hate Ricky Gervais. He's not funny. But also that episode was just really awkward to begin with. And I know that Ricky Gervais has, like, that ability to, like, poke at the awkward because of, like, it just, like, it, almost like that the Office character that he plays.
Right, the David Brent.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. I didn't like it.
I just thought it was just funny. It was like, like, they go, oh, I think I've saw the mystery, who it is. And Ricky's like, well, tell us now. Come on. Why aren't you telling me? Don't keep it a secret. Come on.
Right. And I don't know. Because they're not afraid of that joke, because they've done it in, like, the first episodes. Like, in the Chris Paul episode, when they were introducing so many different golfers, and it was like, a local curmudgeon hates children. Oh, it's definitely that guy. You know, like, oh, a money grubber who wants to destroy the school. It's definitely that guy. Like, the way they wrote that joke was funny, but Ricky Gervais just saying, like, come on, spit it out. Like, let's get this over with. It was a different flavor. And I just didn't like that, the way that they did this, that joke that way. I don't know.
So you didn't like it when they were like, that's dumb. You're dumb. Why are you saying it like that? No, that's stupid.
Yeah,
because I thought it was funny.
I didn't really like Ricky Gervais just making fun of the heroes of the show.
Right, and which is what you pay Ricky Gervais to do when you put him in with Scooby Doo.
Right, I wouldn't pay Ricky Gervais for anything. That's the problem. So,
you know what? throw Russell Brandt in there. He'll just act confused and run around the whole time. That'll actually feel like one of those old episodes of Scooby-Doo with the celebrity that, like, is kind of relevant, but not really, but you're just going to animate them anyways.
The Penn and Teller episode I was really disappointed in, too. I thought it was kind of boring.
Oh, I haven't watched that one yet, so yeah. I'll have to see.
The Wonder Woman episode was it was better, but
I liked the Wonder Woman episode. I did like the, I like the whole Scooby and Wonder Woman sort of, like relationship that the two of them had. It was pretty cute.
Right. Wonder Woman just loves dogs to death. So, yeah. I love that. That was a better episode. The Steve Urkel one hasn't dropped yet, but that's the next episode to drop. And then the Jim Gaffigan one's after that, which I'm looking forward to.
Yes. Oh, my God. I was actually thinking of things that I would... like celebrities that I would wish to see in there. Jim Gaffigan was one of them. But I'm also thinking, what would it look like if they ran into the kids from Stranger Things?
That would be hilarious. See, that would be a great episode, right? But then after Jim Gaffigan, I'm looking forward to Kenan Thompson, and then Weird Al, and then that's probably it. They're doing a Batman episode. As much as I love Batman, like, I'm really
Ben
hoping...
Affleck.
I'm really hoping that the way that they're going to save that episode is the fact that they've had Batman on in the Scooby-Doo movies, and they're going to play that up, you know? That's the way that they're going to make that episode funny, not just having Batman on there for the sake of...
Because I know it's Kevin Conroy's Batman, so it'd be funny if they go, like, why isn't this the Adam West Batman?
Yeah, right.
He used to be wacky.
That's really going to make me feel it. If I hear that, I'm like, you know, they could have had Adam West, but it's just too late.
So I don't know. I'm hoping that it bounces back. What I'm hoping is that they're doing the thing that every piece of media does, which is you put all your best stuff first, and then your second best stuff last, and then the rest of it in the middle. So hopefully it's just on a downward bell curve to come back. But yeah, guess who's Scooby-Doo? Kind of a disappointing slope right now.
All right. Well, why don't we talk about something that wasn't disappointing, which I think will go into what we're watching. The return of Rocko's Modern Life.
Disagree. It was disappointing.
What?
Yeah, it was incredibly fine and just mediocre.
I liked it. I enjoyed it.
And here's why. So it was fine. The problem is after 20 years, it was a 45-minute special of a bunch of references of four seasons of Rocko's Modern Life. Like, we get, yeah, it's like, oh, look, it's that thing from that episode, and oh, look, it's that thing from that episode.
That thing singing the recycle song.
And out of the 45 minutes of the episode, 10 of those minutes were the two trailers that they dropped that were 5 minutes long. And so I didn't expect them to actually use that footage for the actual special. I thought they were just, like, teasers and...
Me too. I thought that they were strictly...
And so we only actually had a half hour of brand new content for it. And the story was only all right. Like, it wasn't earth-shattering or funny or, like super funny. Or it was just a 45-minute special. And if there was going to be more of it, like, if there was going to be...
Another season.
This is going to introduce an entire season of Rocko. Then, okay, fine. Like, that's a good start to bring back Rocko. But they're not. It's just
Who's to say? I mean, if a lot of people wind up watching it, Netflix will be like, oh shit, why don't we bring it back? I think Joe Murray would be happy to do something like that.
Yeah, but if they do it that bad, though, and just make it seem like they're looking for a quick buck or a quick view.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Joe Murray...
Here, millennial, here's a reference. Watch this. Laugh. You guys love references, right?
Yeah. And Joe Murray has endlessly talked about how he just doesn't want to bring Rocko back. Like, in every single interview about Rocko, he's just like, no, I'm not going to bring it back. I don't want to do that.
Which is weird, because recently he's been like, if I was to bring Rocko back, it would have to be, like, the old way. It would have to be, like, nothing, like, toned down or anything. And I felt like the special showed that you could still do Rocko the old way.
It felt like Rocko, but I think the reason why it felt like Rocko is because they were just cherry-picking some parts from the original Rocko's Modern Life. Like I said, like in the beginning when they landed on the trash monster that was singing the recycle song.
Which was excellent, by the way, because that's my least favorite episode of Rocko was the recycle episode. So seeing him kill him off like that felt good.
I thought it was funny, but I don't think that he should have been in there in the first place. That's...
Yeah, like, I don't know. It was fine. Like, I just... That's all I have. Like, it was just, oh, right. Like, it was fine. I like Rocko. This was 45 minutes more of Rocko. But it didn't shatter my universe, and I didn't expect it to be like, wow, I can't wait for them to bring Rocko back. Because it's just like, oh, cool. Like, that was nice.
Well, at least they didn't shit all over what Rocko meant, like what the Powerpuff Girls reboot did.
I don't even think I've watched that.
No, I'm not even.
I watched a few episodes. It's.
Do you guys want to hear a really quick and embarrassing story about Rocko's Modern Life?
Absolutely.
Yes.
When I was a kid, I loved it. Did you guys have AIM?
Yes.
Yes.
My first screen name, I named after the dog. Dude, I love that Spunky. Dog. Spunky. Yeah.
Okay.
Spunk 781. And now I know
that means something else, Derek.
And that's how you're gonna log into RuneScape.
Nope. Oh my god.
Yeah. There so you I go. Mean,
bit of end of story.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, I liked it. It was Rocco, but it wasn't. I didn't love it. I just saw it as a special, like a 45-minute special, and after it was over, it was over. It was done. Right. I didn't, like, dwell on it.
I've got higher hopes for the Invader Zim.
Yeah.
I was about to bring that up. Yeah. Because Johan has been fighting for years to bring back Invader Zim.
Johan?
Isn't it... Jonan! I don't know. It's the J-H in his name. It makes me want to call him Johan.
Yeah. Jonan Vasquez.
Jonan Vasquez.
Yes, and the nice thing about Enter the Florpus is where Joe Murray was very much in all of his interviews, like, are you going to bring Rocco back? No. Jonan Vasquez is very much a, like, are you going to bring Invader Zim back? Yeah, I love Invader Zim.
Yeah, it was Nickelodeon that screwed him up around.
Yeah,
that.
Exactly.
Right.
True, so, especially never give up.
Like, especially because... They had an entire second and third season that they never aired.
Yeah.
Actually,
I believe it was third and fourth.
No, it was second and third.
Was it? Yep. Because I'm pretty sure that we had multiple seasons of Invader Zim. It was
We had only 28 episodes,
really,
I think.
It was confusing because the first season is like 20 episodes long. Mm-hmm. So there was enough content to think you had two seasons, but it was really just one. And then the only episode they played of the second season was the Christmas one.
Right.
And then, so you had season two, and then three was only on DVD.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know this, so they released an Invader Zim DVD pack where you can buy every episode ever. And on the DVD pack, on the last one, they have a special features one. They have like four episodes of just audio. So you can listen to four episodes of Invader Zim that were audio recorded but never animated. It's amazing.
And seeing that we're kind of, sort of still on the topic of Rocco, because we just kind of transitioned from...
I just wanted to say that I'm looking forward to another Nickelodeon property.
I also wanted to mention that I think the reason why it didn't have any impact on me was the way that they sold it. Because clearly this was a special only made for people who watched Rocco when they were kids. Mm-hmm. And it was not for a new audience. Like, they did not bring it in so they could be like, let's introduce a new audience to Rocco. Like, nobody's gonna care. Like, kids these days, like, it's labeled as, like, a family show, but it's really not, because it's Rocco. And it's labeled as, like, oh, here's a new Nickelodeon special, but it's really not, because it's just Joe Murray and Rocco.
I feel like with how things are lining up, it seems more natural that Rugrats All Growed Up would premiere now, too. That actually was ahead of its time. It didn't know the cliche that's happening right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And actually, the interesting thing about All Growed Up is the episode where they time traveled ahead was called All Growed Up, and then the show itself was All Grown Up. So they could actually sell it and market it.
But anyway, by the time this recording has come out there, the Invader Zim movie will have been released, because it's coming out on the 16th.
That's good news, because good news. We'll be able to talk about it.
That's when the Twilight Force album drops, so that's going to be exciting.
That's the first day of Boston Comic Con.
So many things happening.
Yeah, right?
It is? Wow. Oh, wow. That's coming up very fast.
Uh-huh.
That's a Friday.
So, why don't we go into other things that we were watching, because I believe Derek had a homework assignment that he completed.
Oh, yeah. So, Greg and I had a little bit of a contest. Guess what, Greg? You lost. Cowboy Bebop is completed in my files.
Did you love it?
Excuse me.
He's okay. So choked up.
Yeah. future Greg, I thank you for cutting this out.
Nope, that's not going anywhere.
All right, so actually, yeah, I did love it. I was actually disappointed that it seemed like it came to an end way too quickly. Like the whole series seemed to have a lot of one-and-done little mini-stories, just like episode-based stories, and tried to tie together an overarching, you know, backstory or main story, I guess, but felt like a backstory, and then all of a sudden it became the main story in the last two episodes, and then the series was done. So that was... I wish they would have gone, like, two or three episodes more and just, like, at least stretched that out to give it, like, a proper ending, as opposed to just one two-episode special, I guess.
I suppose that's true. But Shinichiro Watanabe is very inspired by Western storytelling. So you could kind of tell that that's where it went. A lot of it went into the Western storytelling of villain of the week, and this is a cool side story, and then let's wrap it all up.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
I mean, I guess, spoiler alert, I wish they gave Julia more of a personality or a character.
Yeah. She could have been in the series a lot more.
Yeah, she could have been in
the series. A little bit more, yeah.
Yeah, that's where, when I say, like, two or three more episodes, I wish that storyline could have extended a little bit more. And then
I think that's a safe spoiler.
And then the final battle being 5 minutes, if that.
No, I kind of understand where that one is coming from.
Well, it's like a final charge, too. And, like, it's all energy, it's all emotion. He knew it was coming to an end.
And that's kind of goes on the basis of, like, remember how Star Wars Episode 6 ended, where, like, that lightsaber fight with Luke and Darth Vader at the end is only, like, 2.5 minutes of footage. You know, there's not a lot going on in that fight because it's all emotion.
Yeah.
And you know, and you understand how the characters are feeling, therefore you don't need to put that much on screen.
I guess it makes it feel different when it's, like, a 23-minute episode.
It's also different when you binge watch it, because, like, think back to when Cowboy Bebop aired in America for the first time. We needed to wait a week for every single one of those episodes to come out, so we had to sit with those emotions in two-part episodes, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. So,
it's different.
Yeah.
Did you watch the movie yet?
No, I have not.
Oh, yeah, do your favor.
The Cowboy Bebop movie is so good.
Is it on any streaming sites, anything like that?
Let me check for you.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah. I've got it on a DVD if you ever need it.
A DVD?
I do.
I think I have it on Blu-ray, too.
The digital video disc.
Oh, my computer's got a slot for divots.
Wow, that's a rare. You must have an ancient machine.
It truly is a rarity.
It's archaic.
Oh, I dust it off every now and then, but it still whirs.
It's just got that little bit of Spunk 781 in it.
Hey, it's my area code, and I then call you listeners to not stalk me. Obviously, I'm North Shore.
That's right. Apparently, it is streaming nowhere right now.
Sweet.
Nowhere.
Nowhere.
If you're one for getting together a movie collection, you can find Cowboy Bebop on DVD for pretty cheap.
Yeah.
So,
and relatively easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can just go to, like, your local Newbury Comics, go to their used DVD section, and find a copy of Cowboy Bebop in there. Like, it's that easy to find. Highly recommend the movie.
Yeah, so now I've actually restarted, because I remember watching this when I was a kid, back watching Toonami. I remember a little bit of the first season, like, enough that I know elements of it, but not enough that I know what was happening or where it's going. So I started Yu Yu Hakusho over again.
Nice!
Oh, that's good.
Same creator as Hunter x Hunter, and I did not know that till starting Hunter x Hunter, so...
He's also the husband of the creator of Sailor Moon, too.
Honestly, looking back at the art style from Yu Yu Hakusho, that was like 92? Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can kind of see that. That's contemporary.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I'm forgetting how much I loved it, and hearing the voice actors, too. I keep looking them up. I'm like, okay, Kuwabara is Vegeta. I understand that. Hiei is... Android 17 and Emperor Pilaf from Dragon Ball, and I met him, and he actually took my phone away from me and took three selfies with me, and my face looks stupid in all three selfies. But Chuck took my phone, and he's like, oh my god, I'm great at this. Oh, hold on, let's take selfies. Here we go. We're gonna do one like this. We're gonna do one like this. We're gonna do one like this. So hearing Hiei talk again, I'm remembering the embarrassing selfie moment, but...
Nice.
But I'm trying to get back into that, and I've forgotten a lot of this story, so it's
I would love
cool
to get
back.
Yeah. I'd love to do Yu Yu Hakusho again.
Yeah.
It's been for it's been ages, and... Ugh.
I'm 5 episodes in so far, so...
Nice.
5 or 6, yeah.
So you've already have a basically back to life.
Yep, back to life, starting to hunt the 3 people who stole the 3 artifacts. So just got introduced to Hiei and Kurama.
Anybody else have a show that they would like to highlight?
I was watching Dumbbells again.
You don't say.
Yeah,
it's still a great show.
It's literally the best show of the season. Like if you're not watching Dumbbells, you're literally missing the best show of the season.
I'm not watching Dumbbells.
Boo!
I the only thing that I'm really giving my time to is Dr. Stone.
I could be watching Dr. Stone. And I see, so I'm missing out on right now. I'm missing out on Dr. Stone, and I'm missing out on Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? And
yeah,
what else?
I didn't even start that.
Well, I have to watch my Dark
so
Skin Girls on Girls.
Here's the thing about Dumbbells is it's hard for me to find time to watch shows to begin with.
Yeah.
With my wife around, especially because she hates anime to begin with.
Yep.
Let alone watching an anime that is legitimately the epitome of what people think stereotypical anime is. So, you know, if I had...
I mean, kind of, but at the same time, it isn't stereotypical anime.
But not for people who don't watch it.
Exactly. If you watch it at face value, it's everything that people just know about anime. Everything is porn. And that's what you get out of Dumbbells if you don't understand what you're watching.
Yeah, I'm single and don't care, so I can just watch whatever anime I want.
You're just looking for another nice artist to...
Yes. Now, the guy who created Dumbbells, his other manga that takes place in that universe... Kenshin Ashura, or Kenkin Ashura, just popped up on Netflix the other day, too.
And this one is... you say it's in the same universe, but it looks like
yes.
It's on a completely different plane of genre.
So, you watch the arm wrestling episode. You know those big, giant buff guys you see in that little quick montage?
Yeah.
I think those are guys from that manga series.
Okay. That's interesting. So I haven't seen any of Kengan Ashura at all. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know, but just looking at the art style at face value, that's what I gathered.
Yeah.
And it's like a... describe the show to me.
It's basically like a more hardcore version of Baki the Grappler.
A more hardcore version of Baki the Grappler?
Yeah!
I didn't even know that was possible. I'll try to find time. Like, are you talking about hardcore anime version, or like
more like muscular aspect? But there are apparently some violent aspects to this.
Like muscular, okay, so it's beat the shit out of Deku muscular. That's a jackass.
Jackass the anime? What?
Oh my god!
That
would have
been great.
It's a stunt. Chair face contest, go!
I will say that would be great if they actually made a Jackass cartoon.
See, it wouldn't, though, because a cartoon can do anything.
Jackass
human,
the anime.
A human body can't, and that's what makes live action so special, and Jackass so special. Is because they're doing things that should only happen in cartoons, but they're doing them to humans. If they turned it into a cartoon, then you would just be like, yeah, all right. A piano fell on cartoon Johnny Knoxville.
Okay, humor me on this. They do Jackass 4.
Yep.
And one of their stunts, all of a sudden, is some sort of anime cartoon of one of them doing a stunt.
See, that would be fine.
Yes!
That would be fine. A little tiny piece of what they do to be animated? Sure. Let's do that. Let's see what it looks like.
Like, it could be like the final bit. Kind of like how they did the musical number at the end of Jackass number 2.
Right.
Not final bit, but just throw it in the middle. All of a sudden, like, Bam Margera's riding on a unicorn or something, tries to do a jump and gets skewered.
like Mad TV, when you'd be watching Mad TV and then all of a sudden Spy vs. Spy would come on.
Yeah, right. Yes. Exactly. What were we talking? Oh yeah, that was right. We were talking about dumbbells. Yeah, dumbbells.
Dumbbells.
But I'm not watching a whole lot of anime this season. I want to, but I just don't have the time. So dumbbells is pretty much takes priority. Like, oh, it's Wednesday, dumbbell comes out. I download dumbbells and I watch it. And then I'm going to. I still need to finish Shield Hero. I have like 4 or 5 episodes left of Shield Hero.
Yeah,
I don't think
I finished Shield Hero either. I think I'm in like the same spot you are.
But I really want to watch. I really want to try. Does it matter if she's a pervert if she's cute or whatever?
One's actually pretty interesting.
Like, I want to try watching that one.
Yeah,
and then. But I have the first couple episodes ready to go, but I haven't watched them yet.
Right.
And then I really want to finish Is It Okay to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon and the other one I'm watching, which I just talked about.
Dumbbells.
What?
Dumbbells.
No, besides Dumbbells.
Dumbbells.
Oh, you know what else is that? Is there? Is
Milf Sakai. Milf
Sakai. Oh, Milf Sakai. Yes.
Did you hear Milf Sakai?
Yeah, or Mommy Sakai.
We only got to stick to one title here, guys.
Love Your Mom and Her Two-Hit Multi-Attack, I think it's called.
It is, but that's the wrong title. It's Mommy Sakai, Ara Ara Isekai, Milf Sakai. Like,
this should be
like,
censored
whatever.
In Japan, Isekai.
Is it? Is it okay to bang your mom in a dungeon?
No, says Japan.
There is no, that does not happen in this light novel series. I can confirm that.
Wait, what?
I found out. Like, I looked through everything about it. No, that does not happen in the Mommy Sakai.
Oh, I thought you said it did. I was like...
No, it doesn't. No.
Thank you, Evan, for doing the research.
Yeah, you're welcome.
No, nobody's gonna watch it.
But either way...
Every way.
That's another one. And then Fire Force is another one that I think Fire Force is really mediocre, but the character designs are great. And by character designs, I mean that one girl.
Yeah.
Who's great. and I would watch a whole show because of that one girl's design.
Because of the muscly summoner chick?
Yeah.
You see, I like Fire Force, but I know the main protagonist kind of looks like Soul from Soul Eater, but when I look at him, all I see is this weird hybrid of Beavis and Butthead.
Like I said, the show's not great. It's fine. But it's not good. It is not good.
I didn't even realize how much he looked like Soul from Soul Eater until you just said that.
Yeah. But I think he looks more like Beavis and Butthead combined. To be honest.
That's really funny.
Like, every time he smiles, I can just picture him just going, oh my god, the one who, like, wields the fake Excalibur could be his other half in that whole thing.
Pretty much.
Oh my gosh, that's Beavis and Butthead.
It's Beavis and Butthead and Fire Force! Oh my god! It is fact now, it is canon, those two are Beavis and Butthead. Well, speaking of comedies, I know we've talked about this anime a lot, but it just got a re-release on Blu-ray with an English dub, and that is Nichijou.
That's right.
Oh yeah.
I like it in Japanese.
Yes,
I have my sub, and it's fine.
The Japanese version is perfection, yes. But I will say, the dub is very good. It does take a little bit of time for you to get used to the voices of, like, Mio and Yuko. But when it comes to Nano and Hakase, those parts, they did an amazing job within the dub. But I totally understand why it took so long for them to dub it, because there are things in Nichijou that are said in Japanese that is impossible to translate because it's like a pun or a play on words. So, you know, they had to, like, work around a little bit of that here and there. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So that's why it's very good. It's not totally great, but they do a very good job with the dub.
Let me ask you this then, Evan. Where do they stand on the soap Bob Hope joke?
Soap!
Okay. That's how it is in the manga, too.
Yeah. So as people for people who don't understand that, when Nichijou first appeared on Crunchyroll back in 2011, they changed the subtitle of Soap into Bob Hope. And that's what made me turn off the show initially, because I just like kind of gave up on it. So, but then when I watched it again and they fixed it and went to the actual soap gag, they managed to do it right. And even in the dub, it's done very well.
So the sketch is that a kid goes to a medium and asks to contact the dead. And the medium says that, like, testing, you're contacting Soap. And they changed it to testing, you're contacting, this is Bob Hope.
Yeah.
So why do you hate the Bob Hope joke so much? I don't think I ever understood that.
I think the reason why I hated it was it made zero sense whatsoever.
You don't want to have hope in your life, Evan.
And I think it was them doing the impersonation of Bob Hope, which is him just going, Mic test. I'm like, that's not Bob Hope. This is not funny.
Well, that was the point of the joke. It doesn't matter. We're past this. You love Nichijou now.
Yes, I love Nichijou now. It's a great show.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right, hey. So let's bring this this podcast full circle, and let's move on to our Topagachi. How's that sound?
Yeah. Let's talk about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Isekai.
Okay, so first you gotta be a loser. Are you a loser yet? Good. You can survive an isekai because now you're the hero. So first off, let's talk about the different kinds of losers that are in isekai. The first one that comes to my mind is Neat. That's the only one that I really ever...
Yeah. The other one that really comes to mind are the people who get run over by Truck-kun.
Yeah, no, that's I know. So weird.
Or in Kazuma sense, Tractor-san.
Yeah, Kazuma from Konosuba was run over by a slow-moving tractor. That was funny.
Who didn't even hit him. He just had a heart attack right there because he thought he was being hit by it.
That's right. He was trying to save somebody's life, and then he had a heart attack because he thought he was going to be run over by a tractor. It's been a while since I've seen the first episode.
So never leave your material plane, without your tractor? Or without your truck?
Yeah. And then... Man, I really think that, because the only one, ReZero was a Neat, Kazuma was a Neat, the guy in Overlord was a Neat, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And then,
So the guy in Rhapsody Death March, mm-hmm. Death March Rhapsody, whatever it was called, because that show sucks, he wasn't really a Neat, but he was living at his job, making the game that was right there. So, I guess he was kind of... I mean, he was a loser, but he was...
because he was making a game with 12-year-old girls in it?
Oh, man. Like, it was just so stupid. It was like, every girl is under the age of 11. I'm just like, what is this anime? And he's a 30-year-old playing a 15-year-old.
Because it's a different
just world. Like voice actors in real life!
Yeah, exactly. And then Kirito, though, was just... is a loser.
Which is a bad anime loser. Just a regular
Yeah, yeah. Loser. Well, technically, that's not really an isekai.
Beater.
Yeah, even Outbreak Company, he was kind of a neat, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was pretty good, I guess. Yeah. Mom isekai, the son's a loser because he hates his mom.
Yeah. That's it's such a strange premise, that one. Because it's the whole point... And it's weird, because they're in a game, so it's not really an isekai, because they're in a controlled environment. Where in isekai, you're not in a controlled environment, almost. So, is it an isekai? I don't know. So,
no, I think it's another type of... I think it's a subgenre. Kind of like how Sword Art Online is kind of a subgenre, because they're just inside a video game.
Okay, so...
No game, no life, there were two neats.
So, what I'm thinking is... That's right. I love Overlord, though, because it brings you into the mind of someone who's on the villain end of things. If we're doing this Hitchhiker's Guide to the Isekai, does it have rules that are for both the hero and the villain?
Yeah, probably. I don't know if the book will, but I would say yes, in mine it would.
But the thing about him is that he didn't realize he was a villain until season 3.
Yep. And Shield Hero, he was made the villain. Feelings.
No, remember in like season 3, there's this moment where he's like, "Wait, I'm the bad guy?"
I'm gonna repeat this just for the sake of making sure that we have this plot point too. That Shield Hero, technically he's the villain too. The people in the game made him the villain. And you could argue that in Overlord, technically the people around him made him the villain because he thought he was doing good and he thought he was a good guy, right? So it's kind of the same thing. So in that case, yes, I would say that it would follow those same rules.
Okay.
So back to No Game, No Life and Mom Isekai, you need to have some kind of taboo fetish.
Oh, and Death March Rhapsody, he's a pedophile.
Yeah, okay, there you go. And ReZero, he likes the worst girl.
Actually, he's not the pedophile, the author is a pedophile.
Yes, right.
Yes.
Because he doesn't want to smash any of the young girls. They're just all young girls.
Who want to smash him.
Who want to smash the author, yeah. So.
Okay.
You have to make sure that you can bring your cell phone, too.
Yes, right. Somehow, you have to go to some place where technology that shouldn't work, based off of satellite feeds.
Oh, which was how they did Ragnarok. The Ragnarok anime.
Right, and Another World with My Smartphone, too.
Another World with My Smartphone.
Well, everybody knows about... There's a lot more people who know about Another World with My Smartphone than they do about Ragnarok, because literally nobody watched Ragnarok, just me.
That's the one where he can cross-dimension use his smartphone
to talk because to a friend, because right? his satellite... Because he has a solar-powered cell phone.
But it still travels cross dimensions. I know we've had this conversation before, but it still bothers me.
The show is so bad. It was so bad. I just couldn't... They didn't even show you how he got to the world. It just... They explained it to you, but the story was in the midst of it. Mm-hmm. So it was really, really stupid. And he just talks to the girl he likes over, and they're like, "Are you safe?" It's like, "Yeah, I'm safe." And there's
it's kind of similar to Another World with My Smartphone, because
there's
a
lot of girls who want to smash my dick, and it's like, "I'm saying no because I like you." It's just like, okay, I get it.
At least in Another World with My Smartphone, it starts out with the main character face to face with God, and God being like, "I'm sorry I accidentally killed you. That was my bad."
Alright, so... Next thing. Oh, yeah, that's right. I bet you there's a chapter in there that tells you about how to fall in love with somebody or how to make somebody fall in love with you. I imagine that the instructions are do absolutely nothing.
Do nothing to deserve it.
No. Wear lots of zippers.
Wear lots of zippers or tracksuits.
Yes. Tracksuits are very popular.
Or lots of zippers like a 90s Rob Liefeld comic.
That's right. Well, his includes pockets.
Oh, yeah, it's pockets.
Pockets and zippers. Oh, no, he didn't. Yeah, his was pockets, not zippers.
Not zippers.
But Yeah, so, okay, so always bring your tracksuit. Have a strength, have some sort of weird fetish.
Wait a minute. You just said always wear your tracksuit. Is that the towel?
That's probably the towel.
That's the towel.
Yeah.
If for those of you who haven't read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, always bring your towel, because if you have a towel, that means that you have, like, all these other space provisions, and if you don't, people and aliens are legally obligated to give you all of those things. Yeah. So, if you wear a tracksuit in an isekai, people are legally obligated to give you all these things that you don't have. We solved it!
Great. So, that means... So, always have your tracksuit. Have some sort of weird fetish. What was the third... What was the other one that we said? It was, the first point. You have to be a loser.
You have to be a loser.
Yeah. Be a loser. Tracksuit.
Do nothing to fall in love.
Do nothing to fall in love. Or zippers.
Yeah, or zippers.
Or zippers. This is good so far.
Yeah, right? This is the most complete topic that we've had in a long time.
You also have to earn the right to be powerful by doing nothing.
Right, yeah. Apparently your loserness, your loser levels are how powerful you are in the other dimension.
Oh, yeah. You have to have parental issues.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Well, either raised by a single mother or single father, usually.
Or you're on your own suddenly, like it was in No Game, No Life, where you just had the brother and sister.
Most of them are on their own. Most of them are just living by themselves.
Yep.
I would say, in regards to Saga of Tanya the Evil, the shittier the person you are, the worse off the other world you're going to is going to be.
I suppose. Could you technically weigh that on a scale next to Konosuba as well, or is it just the people that he's around?
It's just the people he's around. Think about it. He's around the rest of the cast of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia in that show.
Yeah. Because he's not evil.
He's not evil, and the place he lives in isn't evil. But in Saga of Tiny Evil, she's in the middle of World War I.
So then would you say that in regards to the same thing as the loser level, like the higher you are of a loser you are, the more powerful you are, that the other world will also reflect like how evil you are or how much of a jerk you are or how good at games you are, that it's going to mirror that. And I know that right now,
yes.
I'm literally just talking about how to write a story, which is, you know... Obviously, the two who are good at games are going to be transported into a world where games are really good.
Well, you're also talking about how to write a story, which is the weakness of the writers of light novels.
Yeah, so. But then again, if we're talking about something like Konosuba, being a jerk is not a skill, yet everybody in it's a jerk. So it kind of works in that sense,
yes.
Too. I'm trying to think of another aspect. I think that we got it pretty covered. I think we wrote their book for them.
Well, these are the what we predict should be in the book.
The ability to live a pure life, but have the ability to break out of it. You know, people who live the straight life. Like, I'm also thinking Overlord in this, with the whole geeky protagonist and how he uses his character. But now all of a sudden he's in there, so, oh, now you have this ability to go past what you usually did. It's your chance to go past your moral standards. And
I suppose that's true, because that's kind of how Mami Sakai is going. Because he wants to do that, go past his moral standards, but his mom won't let him.
Yeah.
Or break boundaries, yeah. Break limits, break, you know.
That also kind of goes along with the be the most powerful being without deserving it or earning it.
True, actually, yeah. Just depends on what aspect of life you're looking at. But yeah, be the most powerful you can, apparently.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. Woo!
Isekai. So if any of you guys get the Isekai book, which I don't think anybody will.
You know, someone's going to have to translate it. There will be, like, one guy that's going to translate it and release it on the net.
Apparently, look out in the words of Towley, just make sure you bring a towel.
Well, that was in the words of Ford Perfect as well.
I'm raised on South Park, not Hitchhiker's Guide.
You should. Taught me everything I know about space travel.
Actually, South Park. I know Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy because of a text-based adventure I used to play as a kid.
Yes. Same thing.
Never read
same
the books,
thing.
But I know of it because of that. Yep. Addictinggames.com back in the late 90s. Back in the day.
Yeah.
It's as big of a throwback as Rocco.
I used to, I watched the original BBC miniseries of Hitchhiker's Guide, and I did, you know, watch the Disney movie, which wasn't that great, although there were a couple of good performances. Rest in peace, Alan Rickman. You were awesome in that film.
Christine and I just rewatched that film, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You said Disney?
Yeah, Disney.
I know Jim Henson had a lot to do, or the Jim Henson Company had a lot to do with it. I like it a lot. I love that movie.
Compare it to the, if you ever watched the miniseries, they're actually making a new Hitchhiker's Guide miniseries too. Or rather, it might be a full-fledged series because they're going to adapt all the books.
I heard that the BBC one wasn't that great, though.
The one from the 80s?
Yeah.
There's not a lot.
It's entertaining.
These days.
Yeah.
Brexit.
All I'm saying is that South Park is probably more in tune with our earlier conversation about Rocco. Member Rocco?
Yeah.
Member Mops? Just
I member.
And our topic has collapsed.
Yeah.
Just like the isekai genre.
All right. So, with that, do we have any fan service that needs to be... I mean, like, we talked about the Konosuba writer one before.
Yeah, there was something referenced earlier, too. I'm not sure who talked about that in the Discord.
Let me see. Let me check it out for you.
While we're in dead air, I'm just going to say I'm really fucking pissed at my neighbors upstairs right now. Oh my fucking god.
I don't know. We didn't talk about this at all, but Wicked Fan Gerardo sent us the news about Agretzko Season 3 happening.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I'm into it. Let's do it. Let's go. Agretzko Season. I finished Agretzko Season 2 in one day. Just give me another one.
All right. Okay, I got Megadaffy here for last week's Topagotchi. So he says, as for the main topic, which was the beach episodes, his favorite beach episodes are the Azumanga Daioh ones, the Fullmetal Panic Fumofu one, which he says, seriously, you guys need to watch this series, and the Outlaw Star one, which technically he says is a Hot Springs one, but still.
That was technically a Hot Springs episode. Yes. He mentions that here. Yeah. Which technically also isn't a fan service episode because it's a main plot point to the story.
And they never showed it on Cartoon Network.
Yeah, because you saw Aisha Clank.
They just built the fan service into it. Like, oh, you're going to have to get to this. Trust me. You'll have to watch it.
I also see that Megadaffy wanted to make sure that he was very happy to hear us talk about the backyard sports series that he played as a kid, usually mixing his teams with pro kids and backyard kids. So, I forgot that the later games had pro. I remember that backyard football had Tom Brady in it.
That's right.
Yeah. And Megadaffy also says in the...
Backyard soccer on the PC all day, every day.
And Pablo. Through the music share, Megadaffy and I were actually going back and forth because Megadaffy actually got tuned into listening to the band I gave the album of the year to last year, Fucked Up. And he says, I gotta tell you, Fucked Up's David Comes to Life and Dose of Dreams are life-changing experiences. Listen to them.
Wow.
So, thank you for actually listening to those albums. They are both amazing records. And right now, AFLM and I are in the midst of already starting to churn away at our top albums list. And I'm really hoping at least half of the bands that are coming out with albums come out with stinkers, because there's too many good bands releasing new shit, man.
Yeah. Yep. I know one already dropped off of Andrew's list.
Yeah. Well, I think a couple have.
Yeah.
There's two that I think
I know of one.
Yeah. There's two that I've dropped off my list because they were mildly disappointing. And then
Sounds like he described it to me.
Yeah, I know. And then the one
tragically,
and then the one that I was the most nervous about, maybe my number one album.
Which are you talking about Battle Beast?
No, I'm talking about Twilight Force. Battle Beast, Battle Beast is at the bottom, but so far, Twilight Force may be releasing the best album they've released yet.
Wow.
Okay, I'll have to take a listen to that, because right now it's like bands that you have introduced me to and bands that we both share. Battle Beast and Sabaton have released like two of the best albums this year on my end.
Yeah, well, and that's just it, is Sabaton's releasing... But and they should be number one, but they may be number two if Twilight Force just crushes this album, and so far they are. Oh yeah, right. My gosh, are they crushing this album. It's going to be so amazing.
All right, I'll have to take a listen to that as well. Yeah. But on the subject of Sabaton... Yeah.
I think we have a band that we both share, and I think something's coming up pretty soon.
Are you talking about Beck?
No. Oh, come on! Yeah. We're going to see Vampire Weekend.
Oh, Vampire Weekend, Five Over the Bride. That is an excellent album as well. Despite it being a little bit more stripped back than Modern Vampires of the City, it is an excellent record.
And we're about
it
to
is
see
a
them
summer
less
album.
Than 3 weeks.
I know, man. I've got my ticket right here.
I have it right here up in my. I'll call it my above monitor mantle.
But I'm just saying the bands that Andrew and I share, because odds are I don't think Andrew likes Vampire Weekend.
You're right, I don't.
That's why I'm trying to step on your turf, bro.
But yeah, it's August, we got 4 months to go on that list, and it's going to be interesting. And not to mention, I know we talked Sabaton, we should mention that it was announced that Joachim is going to, or
yes,
how do you pronounce his
right.
name?
Joachim Broden is Joachim going Broden. To be... on the new Baby Metal album.
Which, if the new Baby Metal album winds up being amazing, like, and if the new Sabaton album takes the number one spot, there could be a little correlation between my J-pop and world albums lists for the number one album.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I might end up buying the new Baby Metal album just to hear that.
I'm getting it for free because I'm going to see them live.
This freaking dog upstairs. Holy crap.
What dog?
It's driving me nuts.
We're having upstairs problems with everybody. Derek has neighbors blasting music. We have a dog that's been barking for the last 15 minutes. So, it's amazing that the dog hasn't passed out from...
Yeah, I haven't heard your dog. Literally.
No, I haven't heard a dog either.
My ear is vibrating from the fucking bass.
I can
right
hear
now.
The bass. I can hear the
bass. I can hear the bass too.
I can feel the bass right now.
All right. Then it's time for us. Let's do the shameless plugs. Let's get out of here.
Okay.
Okay, guys. If you guys are familiar with the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and you want to add some pieces of the guide, maybe a Hitchhiker's Guide to our Isekai Galaxy... you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where you can message us there, look at our news stories, like and share any articles that we have or news about our events, and you can comment on anything you can imagine. You can also find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime if you're already listening to the podcast there. If you're not listening to it in places like iTunes or Podchasers or Stitcher or... wherever the hell you listen to podcasts, you can probably find us there. Go get. You can also find our videos at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. You can find us on all of our social medias, like Twitter, and tweet us at @YoWickedAnime. And of course, jump on that Discord. You can go to the Facebook page and find the invite link to the Wicked Anime Discord that will be up there forever. If you all want to jump on and just share your anime memes and talk about whatever the heck you want that we talk about on this show. You can find me... at facebook.com/AFLMart. And we look at the progress of my comic book. I'm finally building the website for the webcomic, so very soon we will have a launch for the webcomic. I'm also open for commission. And if you want to see some fun gameplay videos of me just tooling around and memeing out on some games I have an alternate YouTube channel called Stick Figure Czar. That's Stick Figure Czar, Czar, no spaces, and you can watch me play some awesome Siege. Yay!
Yay.
Evan?
Alright, so for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bachelor Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you are in a band and want to be featured on the No Borders, No Race podcast show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbachelorbrigade.com. You can follow me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, on and on Twitter and the J-pop, video games, and anime amino pages at kingbaby.esh. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbashbrigade and facebook.com/landofash. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Ash, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smash Rook. For those who are interested in indie gaming, come down to the Boston Festival of Indie Games on Saturday, September 14th. And it is going to be held at, let me pull this up very, very, very quickly. I am sorry. It's going to be held at the Harvard Athletic Complex. This will be a great place for you to try out new card games, new video games. It's a lot of fun. You get to meet a lot of really cool people and developers. I go every single year. Sometimes it's an okay year. Sometimes it's a great year. But you always have fun trying out a lot of these titles. Alif or Derek, how about you?
Well, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Alif or Derek. Otherwise, I have just recently climbed Mumbo's Mountain, ridden around Treasure Trove Cove, gone down into Clanker's Cavern, up around Bubble Gloop Swamp, up around Freezy's Peak. I've been marathoning Banjo-Kazooie as fast as I can because I haven't played it in over a decade. Started playing it again. And in 2 days, I'm like 75% done with it already, completing each level as I'm going along.
Was our former roommate Andy the one who inspired you to go back to Banjo-Kazooie?
No, I played the hell out of that in Banjo-Tooie, and I got the Xbox, the Live Pass, Pass, something like that, Game Pass.
Nice.
And that actually has it included with it, and I'm just doing a $1 trial for the month, so I'm marathoning through this as fast as I can, because I've got 1 month, and I've got to finish that in Banjo-Tooie, and then I cancel the subscription before they charge me $16.
Nice. Excellent. All right, everybody, we got to get out of here, because our neighbors are bugging us. And so,
there's a dubstep party upstairs.
All of our neighbors. So
boots and
until
cats
next time.
And boots and cats and boots and cats.
Until next time, we will see you on the interwebs, and it is time for us to sign off the only way we know how.
Game
on!
So much bass.
Wait.
Since Greg is not here, I have to do this thing for him.
So here's what I want to do. And it might cut out our microphone, like it did at the beginning of the recording. But I want to hold our microphone up to the ceiling and see if we can catch the dog. On audio. He's been barking for a good 20 minutes
to
now.
The sky.
See cow roll, let's rise!
Alright, let me try. I have a better chair. Let's try this. You can stand on this. Yeah, but not with my head. Yeah, but you're gonna stand on that?
No, you're gonna stand on this and hold it up.
Yeah, I am. Why are you standing up?
Because I'm gonna lift the laptop up.
You won't need to, this is long.
Okay. Here we go, let's try it.
Of course, the dog stopped barking.
No. We'll fucking make it bark.
Can we hear it?
I can't hear anything.
Nothing? That's good.
I've got subwoofer problems. You got fake woofer problems.
I swear it's barking.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.